Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. This week on Explore the Prophetic, we're going to talk about trusting God in the silent times. Are you in a season where you can't hear God for yourself, or where it seems like the greater meaningful parts of life feel like echo chambers? Well, let's talk about it. The greatest time that God was silent with me was, and I expected him to speak so clearly. I was 29. I laid down my ministry. I went into a season of really just seeking him. I took time off, and I was going to take a whole year off to really study the Bible just on my own. And study people in history who had a deeper life in God, not just people who did great things for God, not just people of the missionary books of like the nations they transformed, but people who seem to have that deeper connection with Jesus. And sometimes you find that in the Catholic saints and mystics. Sometimes you find that in the early church fathers. Sometimes you find that in current people who've had just an experience with God and an understanding of the word and a developed sense of how to apply the word to life. And I just wanted to go deeper so much so with God. But during that time, it was one of the quietest God had ever been. And I got really sick and almost died. It was the furthest I ever felt from God. I mean, ministry wasn't defining me anymore, of course. And I had nothing useful to offer that I was doing for the world because I was sick and I was out of any kind of roles that were helpful. But I knew there was something that I could have if I could just press into God that I've never had before. And I kept quoting, "Blessed are the hungry, for they will be filled, God. And you created this hunger in me. And I know that you're going to fill me." And I just would over and over and over say, "God, I know you're going to fill this hunger. You've created this place of hunger in me. I'm set apart and now I'm sick." And I went on chemotherapy and all kinds of stuff for a parasite I had. Some of you have heard that story. I've shared it at another time. But man, it was a really destructive time to parts of me that I thought were important. But those parts actually weren't as important as I thought. And my identity was challenged. And even the way I did Christianity was challenged. The way that I pursued God was challenged. A lot of performance broke out of me. And I didn't realize I was hearing God because it wasn't direct speech or it wasn't direct ways I wanted to hear from God. But after that period was over, 2001 hit, and so much in me had been reformed. And so much in me, I could stand on the Bible differently. I could stand on the way I believe differently. I could stand on in the midst of relationships differently, because so much that was constructed that were good things, but they weren't right things. They were things that, you know, ways I would pursue life and hobbies I had and talents I had and skills I had that I was allowing people to access for so many different reasons. And they weren't how God wanted me to live. And I just didn't know that. I needed a time of reconstruction in God. And so that was my first major experience with when God's silent and he wasn't speaking directly. But when I look back, of course, hindsight, I could see a complete rebuilding. I call it the reconstruction period of my life. Well, some of you may not be in that, but in silent seasons, we often feel like God's voice has grown totally quiet. And it's easy to wonder if he's distant or if he's disengaged from us, if we're not his favorite, if we're not someone that he cares as much about other people who seem to have God so much, you know, easier at work in their lives. They're way more visible, at least. And these silent times are often some of those profound moments of transformation and intimacy with God. I think of the time Jesus went in the wilderness, you know, to see God, and he meets Satan instead. You know, like he goes to be with the Father. And during that time, like he's feeling like completely separated, hungry, tired, all these things. And Satan visits him that whole time. But there's something in the formation of who Jesus was as a human being where he stepped into his that place of understanding the Father and relying fully on the Father that set apart his whole rest of his ministry before he passed away. And so there's times that we go through that are really hard to understand. And the hardest part about that is sometimes we try and get language from others and we ask other people, whether they're leaders or parents or friends or people who seem to be ahead of us, "Have you ever gone through this?" And lots of times they give the worst advice we've ever had. "Oh, you'll get through it. I went through that one time and I was great," and whatever. And it's just the most almost not on purpose, but it's almost like patronizing the way people treat you when you feel like you're in a time when God's silent. Have you ever felt that? Say hashtag my turn if you felt that. Well, silence doesn't mean absence at all, and it means invitation, and you need to hear that. Silence does not equal absence. Silence, when God is silent, it's an invitation for you. And the invitation is that God is saying, lean in. He's saying, trust deeper, and he's saying, be shaped by his unseen hand. What you can't see, trust that he's shaping some things in you, that he's doing an underground, undercurrent, you know, place of work. And I remember praying for just a major leader that it was like a household name back in the 90s. And I was praying for this leader because they were going through one of the hardest silent times in their life. And they were going through, like, their marriage was on the rocks and their family, their kids were rebelling and all kinds of stuff was happening. And they were just seeking God and fasting and praying and all the things. And I said, you know, I feel like as I had my hand on their chest, I said, I feel like God is saying, you know, you feel like he's digging a bottomless pit that has no end and everything that God's doing in you feels empty and it feels like an echo chamber. That's why I use the word echo chamber. But God is saying he's about to strike water, the water of his nature inside of you. And he's been digging a place for himself that he can fill. And you had all this stuff in the way and you didn't realize it was in the way, but he's digging out a spot in you that feels so empty today, but tomorrow is going to feel filled. You know, maybe the next season is going to feel so alive and you allowed him to take things off and strip your identity and strip you of the things that you thought were the best things. And they really aren't even, they don't even matter to you anymore, but they mattered so much before, like your reputation, because they're going through a reputation challenge. Like your, the way you were doing marriage was like totally wrong. Like you were violating your marriage for the sake of more ministry opportunities and you didn't realize it. And your kids are rebelling because you kind of put them on the altar of the purpose and sometimes wouldn't be as engaged. And all these things are happening and it feels painful. But man, God is about to, as you've gone through this time where he's, I'll use a word that I use for myself. I didn't use that word for him, deconstructed you that he can, so he can make you a new creation. You're going to feel like the very thing that feels so empty today is going to feel so full tomorrow, because today it feels bad to have those things stripped away. It feels bad to feel those things emptying of yourself and your flesh and your desires, but you're making room for God to fill it with his desires. And sure enough, like within just a few months, this person was like on the other end of the dark night of the soul, like we talked about last week, like that other end of the dark period of their life. And they were like, oh my gosh, I'm so full. I'm so full of you, God. Like I can see that all my chambers of my heart are filled with you now. Like I'm doing things out of you, not just for you. I'm doing things out of the right priorities. I'm not violating people to do my calling. I'm not trying to control everything. I'm not trying to be the most powerful person in my world anymore. I'm actually like in a place where I'm comfortable with what I'm not, because you're so beautiful and you're so holy. And it was such an incredible thing to watch. Again, one of the top 20 leaders known in the world go through this process, who's, you know, probably never been through this process that I know of again, but it was one of the most devastating times of their life. And they were like, God's not speaking to me. People who prophesy aren't giving me words. Like no one, everyone I'm asking for prayer for, it has no language for me. And it just feels like when they pray for me, I feel worse. And then we had this time and they were like, oh my gosh, you're right. God has stripped me. And God has taken me down. He's reduced me to almost zero because he wants me to decrease that he can increase. And I never understood that. Well, sometimes we go through times like that. And that may not be why he's being silent in your life, but there's all kinds of reasons why. But I'm just sharing my experience and this person's experience that I was able to pray with him through, because I feel like in those times we discount how beautiful God is, because we can't, you know, we can't see hindsight yet. We can't see through the trees. We can't see yet. And when God seems quiet, a lot of times you can study the word, but it doesn't feel like there's any life application from it in obvious ways. And you go to church and no messages make sense to you, and you know they're not for you today. Or you go and your community of friends and they're sharing what God's doing with them, and it's not relatable to you. So it's not just like God's silent, like as in you don't hear direction for your life, or maybe you have some decision to make. Usually, when you go through a time when if God feels silent, it's like there's no answers for you on any level. There's like the majority of things are not answered. Maybe your marriage is good and your family's good, but there's some bigger things you're seeking God for that just feels like it's empty. And when you are aware of that emptiness, know that that's a place that God's going to fill. And God's at work in this time to double down and press into all that he's done in the past and all that he's promised for the future. So man, you got to look, you need to double down too and look at the past and go, okay, God, you've been faithful here. You've done this. I stand in all of what you've done in my past. And I also, I'm going to look at what you promised me for the future. And if you don't have promises for the future, it's good to listen to other stories of people who've overcome. And there's all kinds of podcasts and radio shows and even testimony books and things where people share what God's been like for them and the hardships of life. And that also helps you when you can't pull on your own faith journey, that you pull on the faith journeys of what God's done with other people. Because if God did it for them, you're an equal son or daughter in his mind, his heart, his love. And so what he's done for one, he'll do for more than one. He'll do for you as well. And know that if God's silent, sometimes it's just that you're relying on a formula or pattern that's no longer available. I've seen this so many times where all of a sudden someone's like, I can't hear God anymore. I can't connect to God deeper anymore. And it's because they're so used to God speaking a certain way that that's what they're expecting from that point on. But God's always doing a new thing. And I don't mean that he won't keep certain patterns of relationship with you, because like God loves to form in us a tradition of the way we spend time with him. But sometimes, like, you're so used to it, it's like, well, I spend an hour and a half in the morning with the Lord, and I do this and I do that, and this is what I do. I go to this church service and I'm fulfilled. And then God's like, actually, I'm going to make it so you're not fulfilled by that anymore, because I'm going to do something so new that you wouldn't discover unless I change things up for you. And there's people I want you to meet. So these family members or these friends that are moving away or that are transitioning right now, look at that as an invitation, because I have new people for your life that you would have never picked or even understood how to get to if there hadn't been a transition in your friendship circle. And that's so hard for us because we get so comfortable, and in our comfort, it can be the enemy of what God wants to do. Our comfort can be the enemy of intimacy because we don't want to go to a new place. We don't want to do a new thing. And I know my wife is the ultimate creature of comfort when it comes to like our date night. We try and do a date night regularly. And some seasons were weekly, some seasons were like a couple times a month, but it's faithfully consistent. And my wife, you know, we moved to Texas, and there's already some restaurants that she would love to go to the most. There's already, like, especially like the easy ones. Like, there's this restaurant here called the Velvet Taco. It's just so good, so easy to just run to. We see Christians there almost every time we're there too, from different churches who know us, and they'll say hi to us. And it's like, we just meet people there. It's funny, but we'll go to Velvet Taco, or we'll have Velvet Taco ordered in or whatever it is. And, you know, for me, I have this thing inside of me. It's like, it's good to have comfortable routines and rhythms that are, there's comfort in that. And there's also intimacy in that, but there's also the explorer adventurer side in me that I know she loves too, but I'm the initiator of it, where I'll say, hey, you know, get a little dressed up, and we're going to go downtown, or we're going to go meet some friends, or we're going to go do something different than we've done before. And for her, a lot of times when I'm going to lead her that way, it's like, oh, that's a whole different process. That's a whole different frame of mind I have to get into. That's a whole different, you have to pull from somewhere, especially after a long work week, especially if it's in the middle of the work week. You know, it's like you have to pull from a different place. And I've done this to her both in LA and a couple times in Dallas, where we'll go somewhere that's not on her grid. And there might be even be a resistance at first to be like, are you sure? Like, okay, I'll go for you almost. Like, I'm going to go because you want to go. But it's ultimately for both of us, and especially for her, because we'll go somewhere that has incredible food that she would have never experienced if we hadn't gone there, or an incredible atmosphere that brings us alive and causes us to have not just a great time, but to connect to each other differently because we're in a new space, a new frame of mind, and a new adventure. And you're just, your neurons are firing differently. Your spirit's wired differently when you're in the new. And so I think sometimes God does that to us. That God is like, hey, I know you want to go to Velvet Taco, but hey, let's go here instead, because I have something for you to go to. I have something for you to engage in. I have something for you to connect to that you would have never done if it wasn't for this event or for the out of your routine. And so sometimes when God's silent, he's actually breaking up the routines of the comfort because he has a new measure or a new grace for us. I love the Bible says we go from glory to glory. Well, you can't go from glory to glory if everything's familiar to you. So sometimes God literally weans you from the familiar, and it feels like he's being silent, but it's actually because he's bringing you into the greater. And I think there's an invitation in that silence to look at it and go, okay, God, what do you want to do that's new? And silence can be painful, but it could also be exciting. Silence can be really intense, but it can also be really the treasure map in our life that leads us to a new X on that marks the spot. And it can feel heavy, but it also, of course, like I said, it signals that God's doing a deeper work within you. And in these moments, God's calling you to trust him beyond what you can hear or see or feel. He's calling you to stand in the faith of what he's built in the reservoir of your life. And through the working of the word, and also through the working of his spirit, and he's still moving and he's still speaking in some ways, but just on ways that you're accustomed to, or in ways that you audibly hear or just in your mind hear, but he's doing something deeper in your life. And these times, like I said, they challenge, they refine you, they build character, they teach you to listen to a whisper in a spirit. And I love that in Isaiah 30 verse 15, it says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. And I don't know if you've ever thought of that, because if we don't look at that in the world, quietness and trust is not typically the world's strength. Their strength is contracts and negotiations. You know, their strength is, you know, loud agreements and handshakes. And in the spirit and in walking as a Christian, there's something about knowing that God, you know, be still and know your God, be still and know God. There's something about in your depth of your foundation that there's a strength in the quietness. Like, as a human being, if you can't be alone in the quiet of your own mind and your own heart, that's unhealthy. That's like, you need to be able to be alone in your thoughts and actually be okay, especially as a Christian, because you have Christ working in those lonely and alone and quiet places. And eventually those become a strength to you. Like, I need time alone in the quiet to meditate on the word of God and to meditate on what he's doing in my life. And to just think, and a lot of times it's not like I'm hearing these words from God and directions and things and whatever. It's not about ministry or output or anything else, but it's about being still and knowing who God is and worshiping him for who he is, and not, and there's no performance on it. And so there's something about the quietness being, you know, our trust is our strength in those seasons. And strength comes not from striving, but resting in God's presence, even when he feels far away. And I think of Elijah in the cave in 1 Kings 19 through 9 through 13, where he, after this dramatic showdown, you have the most dramatic showdown in the Bible, I think, other than Jesus of the cross. And you have Mount Carmel, and Elijah expects God to speak to him in a mighty and obvious way. I mean, he's just waiting for the more fire to come down or something. But instead, God's voice comes in the gentle whisper, not in all the other ways. And Elijah had to wait through the wind and the earthquake and the fire before he encountered God in stillness. And there was something that God was teaching him, like, hey, I'm not coming this way. I'm not coming this way. I'm not coming this way. And you're waiting for me to do something. It's almost like the disciples, when they said to Jesus, you want us to call down fire on your enemies right now? And Jesus is like, who are you? Like, no, that's not how I'm coming this generation. I'm coming in love. Like, my kindness is going to draw them to repentance. It's not going to be my fire, my judgment. And I think sometimes in our spirit, like, we want God to come a certain way, so we're disappointed because we have an image or we have a fantasy of how God can deliver us or change us or whatever it can be, or judge our enemies. And when he comes a different way, then it's hard for us because we're not anticipating we can't anticipate the fullness of the mind of God, because we get to think his thoughts with them, but we don't originate those thoughts. And so we have to press in to think those thoughts. We have to press in to get the perceptions of Christ, to read the Bible, to pray, to see what God's like, because we can't, it's presumptuous to think that we're thinking the thoughts for him or with him. We're just thinking them alongside of him, you know? And in the silence, God teaches us to discern that still small voice in the midst of the noise and the chaos and the trauma. And to, he wants us to rely not on the dramatic, but the quiet presence. You know, there's that place where the people I trust the most in life are people who don't have to be in the drama all the time to hear God. They don't have to be in the chaos. I have a few friends in ministry acquaintances who they're always striving and they're always at war and they're always doing the next prayer assignment and fasting a million times. I love fasting. I love prayer. But it feels like there's this energy of striving and this momentum of the next prayer vigil and the next thing that is their sustainer. It's not that quiet trust in God that he's already at work more than we are. And so when we come into work, God's already gone 10 steps, a million steps ahead of us, and he's already behind us, and he's already beside us. And we just get to do this with God. So we don't have to have that added level of kind of that fleshly zeal that comes sometimes where it's like, oh, I'm going to strive and make this happen. And you hear those kind of screaming prayers that aggravate you versus that agreement prayer that causes you to go, yes, you know, I feel that in the depth of my soul and spirit. And I feel like this silence is something that sometimes God delivers us from, that human striving, and delivers us from forms of religious expression that were the most important ones to us in the last season. But we go, I can't even find God there this time. Even the way I've prayed over the years has changed. I used to be a yeller and a pacer and a mover and the whole things. And I could still be that way at times, but it's not my primary, you know, I wear a pathway where I prayed because I had to move around so much. And it's not that I'm more calm. It's that I'm more resolved in my faith about what God's doing. So a lot of things that used to take me a long time to pray for before I felt settled take me much less time to pray for, not because I'm good or because I'm better, but because I can access my faith in who God is more. I think of Job's journey of silence in Job 23, 8 through 10. Job wrestles with God's silence during his suffering. He feels so abandoned and unheard, yet in his anguish, and he had real anguish. I think sometimes we don't look at the anguish he had from all the losses. I mean, it would have been the most, thank God, I'm not in a Job season or I'm not Job. But he says, he declares, he knows the way I take, and when he tested me, I will come forth as gold. So he knows all what I can and can't take. He knows what I can go through. And he has tested me, and I will come forth on the other end with gold. And there's something about Job that relates to some of the silent seasons some of you are in. And, you know, if it was just about getting the double portion back at the end of the book of Job, he says it gets double back of, you know, all the he lost. And when you're in a season of loss and silence, double back isn't going to do much for you. When you've lost everything and just go, okay, I can have a big house again, or I can have, you know, some of my kids, I'll have new kids, or I'll have, because his kids, I think, all died. And I think his wife was left, but his kids all died, but she kind of betrayed him in that season anyways. And he, you know, he'd lost his employees, he'd lost all of his land. He lost all of his purpose. Now I have it back. And that there's some fulfillment in that, but it's not ultimate fulfillment. Ultimately, what Job got double of his connection to God or more back. He finally had like a mainline to the heart of God, and he understood how beautiful and good God was on a level that he couldn't have understood. So he got more access is the best way to say it. He got more access. So when we go through a season of stripping, it's not that it's just the promise on the end. You're going to get double back, or you're going to get so much more than you had before, because the loss is real loss. The loss is so painful that if it's just getting more stuff, more opportunity, more whatever, it's not worth it. Like if I lost my wife right now and God's like, it's okay, I'll give you another one 3 days later. It's like, the loss of Cherie would be devastating. I don't ever want to get remarried if I lose Cherie at this point, because I'm like looking at her going, you are the one. Like I want to be with you through all heaven somehow. Like you are the one. So like losing her, I wouldn't be fulfilled by getting another wife who's, you know, whatever. But if I go through loss and I get more of God and I have more access to his heart and I have more access to his wisdom, his nature, I can understand the other losses being put in perspective to that. And it's the only way to see loss in a way that is comforting, because otherwise loss is loss. So even in God's silence, Job trusted the refining process that he was going to have more than God. He was going to turn gold in his own life, but that gold wasn't stuff. The gold wasn't wealth. The gold was, I will now be connected to you in a way that I've always dreamed of. And I already have a measure of that. That's why he was a righteous man. But now he's a righteous man with empowerment. You know, I think of like the New Testament Christianity, where you have people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit in fullness. And some people live up to that and walk it out. And some people never take on the benefits of their Christianity and never really walk with God in the way they get enough to get, you know, saved and maybe go to heaven, but not enough to actually make a difference in their real life. Or they get enough to have their tank full to do something for God, but not in a way that actually causes them to thrive in their inner identity with who God is and actually have a real strong John 10 life, you know. And God's silent is not a sign of his absence, and we saw that with Job, but of confidence in your faith. Like you actually get a level of confidence that he is good, that God is who he says he is, and he's working the unseen and shaping your endurance and your trust in those seasons. And it sucks. I mean, it sucks to go through, just like it sucks to work out. I mean, like sorry if you don't like the word sucks, but it's true. If you are going to the gym, like I'm going on a gym routine right now, and I've let myself not be in a gym routine. So it hurts twice as bad when you're not working out regularly. It hurts. And the motivation level takes way more when you're like not in good shape to work out than when you're in decent shape to just add working out back in your life. When you're not in good shape, you have to work out. It's not like you're going, oh, this is awesome. You're going, I don't want to go to one more class. I don't want to do one more thing. And some of you with this place of like, when God's silent, you're not going, yay. That's not what we're talking about. But there's something in the deeper part of you, just like when you're working out, you know, and especially if you're out of shape and you're working out, you're going, thank God, because I'm going to live a long life. I want to be healthy. I want to have all the energy I need for my wife, my kids, my mission, my purpose, my everything God has for me. And I don't have that because I'm not in the shape I need to be. And so you look at it and you go, get me in the shape I need to be. I'm going to keep going to the gym. I'm going to keep paying the price. It's the same in the silent times. Like it doesn't feel good, but there's this resolve in the when you're a Christian, where you go, you're working something, you're allowing a testing, you're allowing a challenge. So I become more in you, not so I decrease in a way that's unhealthy, but I decrease in a way that's healthy so that you can increase, and you put on that spiritual muscle mass, and you put on, you know, the armor of God in a way that you can really carry it. And so I think of Psalm 46:10, where I just quoted a minute ago, but be still and know that I'm God. There's those moments where in the silence, God calls us to that stillness, and we remember who he is, and we trust in his sovereignty. Like there's something about when you're in that momentum where everything's good all the time, and just God feels like right there, you know, like right inside, and you're just like, and we are called to live the majority of our life that way. We're called to live close and feeling connected to the word and to our spirit and to our families and our relationships and our purpose. But when we're not, and we're human, so there's going to be seasons we're not, there's something so significant where we go, I thank you even for this, God. I thank you for this too, because it's developing a part of you, Jesus, in me that I would have never had without this. And if you can get to that place of I thank you and surrender in that season to say, God, you increase and I'll decrease. If you can do that, you're going to get through it so much faster with so much more grace. And I think, you know, the intertestamental period where between the Old and New Testament, there's 400 years of silence. Like we're coming into Christmas season right now. There was 400 years of silence where no prophetic word was recorded at all. We know the Maccabees story because we have the history of that. That was profound, but there was no recorded, like, God spoke in a sovereign way, in a major way. Yet during that time, God was preparing the stage for the coming of Jesus. So sometimes, you know, the Savior who changed the whole world and all of history and everything else forever, sometimes God's silence often comes, and then it's preceded by the greatest works he's ever done. So when you're in a season of silence, or a season of wartime, or a season of whatever it is, when you're in a hardship season, realize that is coming, but on the other end of it, historically, is Jesus is born. The glory of God is born in your life in a new way. And trust that God's setting a stage. So if he's silent right now, just in your spirit, even say, hashtag my turn, God, you're setting a stage for something miraculous in my life. You're setting the stage for something that I can't perceive in my life. And if you can stop there, camp there for a second, let him do that. Let him build that faith in you. You know, you can't build that yourself, but you can come into agreement with it. That's God who builds that in you. And I think of, you know, Lamentations, we don't often read Lamentations, except for when we're in seasons of silence or seasons of hardship. Lamentations 3:25 through 26 says, the Lord is good to those who hope in him, to one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for salvation of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever read that before, but the Lord is good. Like, you have to remember that the Lord is good for those who hope in him. To the one who seeks him, it's good to wait quietly for salvation of the Lord. So this is biblical precedence that there's times to wait quietly where the Lord's quiet and you're quiet. And then it's setting a stage for something to happen. And you make different choices in your spirit and your heart and your mind. And over, you know, like when you get through those seasons, you even make different choices for how you're going to spend your energy in life. You marshal your energy very differently. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. So according to the Message version in Galatians 2, it says that one of the fruit of the Spirit isn't just like patience or joy or peace, but one of the ways that the Message version says it is you're able to marshal your energies wisely, which means all the resources of your physical energy of the day, your emotional energy of the day, your relational capacity, you're able to marshal those with wisdom and with grace because you have the fruit of the Spirit. Well, in these times of silence, you get so realigned that everywhere your margins are off, you're spending too much time doing wrong hobbies, or you're spending too much time with people who aren't giving you enough back, or that aren't balanced relationships, or unequally yoked, or you're doing too many things. You just have too many activities in life. And when you come through a season of silence, a lot of times on the other end of it is the fruit of the Spirit, where you then your energy feels like it's all going where it needs to go. And you feel such a level of fulfillment that there's nothing like it. The second thing I want to say in this is waiting in silence is not wasted ever. It's a holy act. It's a holy act of hope and trust in God's faithfulness. And so just like that scripture in Lamentations, this is something we have to look at, that when you're in a season of silence and you're waiting on God and you're praying and you're standing on his word, it's holy. Just as holy as when you feel like you're at the best place in life, when you feel the most God activity, the most good things. These times of silence, it's also a holy time. There's a holy hush over it sometimes, but it's holy. And when you recognize that it's holy, you recognize that God's working through it, even though it's frustrating or you don't like part of it, that's okay. I don't like part of working out. I don't like part of eating healthy foods over unhealthy foods that I don't want to eat. Like, we were eating kale salad again last night, and after the 16th time in a month, I'm sick of it. That kind of thing, you know. So we have to come to a place where we are in agreement for the good, even if it's not always our preference, because we like the work it does in us, and we like the quality of life we have. I want to like the quality of life I have in God. This season, it's a season to press in and to trust so much deeper and to believe that silence is not the end, but only your beginning. God is so near. And his plans for you are unfolding. They're unfolding even now, even though you can't see it. Lean into the silence. This is holy ground. So I'm going to encourage you to really, in this season, I'm going to pray for you. But in this season, if it's a silent time, or if somebody else in your life is in a quiet time where they can't hear God, or maybe it's somebody who used to be really strong in relationship with, maybe you served together at church or something, or you connected to each other on projects, or maybe it's someone in your family, like your extended family member, who seemed to have such a relationship with God, but God's been silent to them. Send them this video. Let them have this expression of just like someone pouring into them about the silent times. And sometimes in silent times, we make mistakes and we allow ourselves to get carnal, or we allow ourselves to just waste time. And I want to encourage you, don't do that. Repent of that and like let those things go. Like, let's say, God, I want this time, my silent time, to be a holy time. And so I want to get rid of the things that cause me to not be present with you and connected to you. And sometimes those are the times when God brings stuff up that are wrong patterns. And so you have to get help in prayer and counseling and counsel and those kinds of things. So I'm going to encourage you to do just that. But Holy Spirit, thank you, God. And it's hard for us to say this sometimes, but thank you, God, even when you're silent, that you're here at work. God, if we've been in a place where we misunderstood you, or we've been frustrated with you, or we've been mad at you, or we've been any of those things, I pray that you would just reset our faith today that you're never a God we should be mad at, because you're always good. You're always doing something good. So I pray you would help us to believe that. Help us to be realigned in our faith for the silence. Help us to be realigned for maybe the patterns that you're taking us out of that we're familiar, that you want new things in our lives. And we resist new all the time, but you always are bringing something new for us. So help us to not resist the new. Help us to be adaptable. Lord, if we've run out of adaptive energy because we're exhausted, Lord, I pray that you would heal our hearts and reset us so we can have the adaptive energy it takes to come into the new of God, the new of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, we want to know you the way you want to be known. John 17, when you prayed, Father, I desire them to be with me where I am. I know that's still your prayer today. It's why you went to the cross for us. And I pray where you said, I want them to be here so they can know me and they can know you in your glory, Father. We want to know you the way you want to be known, Jesus. So whatever it takes for that, I pray that you would do. Now make that as a bold proclamation. Whatever it takes to know you, Jesus, the way you want to be known, I surrender to that. And when you surrender to that, don't expect and anticipate bad things. Anticipate the glory of God. Anticipate the goodness of God. He wants to bring good in your life through that prayer. Sometimes we get this like weird thing of like, if I pray and really surrender that, or if I really say those prayers, then bad things are going to happen. And I've heard people say, if I pray for humility, then I go through all these really hard things. No, if you pray for humility and go through hard things, it's because you had a lot of pride. It's not because God's testing you differently or like he's giving you much more upgraded tests. It's like that meme where it says, God, you know, just the guy on the phone, I'm signing up for the, I don't want to be the spiritual giant champion for 2025 in spiritual battles. I want a normal life for 2025. And I'm like laughing, going, no, we want everything God has for us. And usually the harder it is, you know, it's because the purpose is greater, or because we have things to grow through in our own flesh and our own being where we have to surrender more. And so just trust God that if you surrender and say, I want to know you, Jesus, the way you want to be known, like John 17 prayer, which is my life verse. If you ever wonder what my life verse was, it's the chapter of John 17 where Jesus prays so intimately to the Father. And I want to be known in heaven, but I want to know Jesus the way he wants to be known. I want to know him with the full measure of what he's making available on this side of eternity and in the age to come. So I'm going to encourage you to pray that. Well, as we end this video, I do want to say, like, I want to hear from you in the comments below. I want to hear what we could be praying for you for. A lot of you are saying hashtag my turn. That's kind of our hashtag for Exploring the Prophetic podcast and for YouTube. Make sure to leave a review, a like on this. But also, we have this incredible opportunity we've never had, you guys. This is, to me, it's really amazing and humbling because we needed some finances to go forward in 2025 to build out some of the editing and some of the needs we have that are just practical needs that any ministry has. And we're a very small team doing a lot of work. 3 unique vodcasts and all the content to support it on social media and the whole spiritual growth mentoring community that we're doing. And to do that, we need finances. Well, you guys have been givers, but this month, this is so awesome. We have a generous donor who's giving $100,000 worth of matching donations. So if you give $50, it turns into $100. If you give $200, it's $400. If you give $5,000, it's $10,000. Because they're matching every donation. So if you give a donation, it doubles for us as a ministry right now. I would encourage you to consider supporting us. Even the smallest amount is double the smallest amount today. You can go to bullsministries.com and just click on give, and just know that every time you give, at the end of the month, we get to tally those up and we get to match that again with up to $100,000, which is going to take us so far into the new year with some of the plans that we have. We have so much vision for how to grow and how we're supposed to build this, but we need your support. We need your partnership. And some of you may be able to be on a monthly partnership journey with us. And the beautiful thing about our partners is we get to give back to you. We have monthly prayer times for our partners where I go to Zoom room with you and we pray with you. We have, and we give you ministry updates and what's going on. So you can feel like our fruit truly is your fruit. We give resources to you all year long. We give different things that are going on. You get discounts on our mentoring community. You get discounts on all of our products online. We try and give back so much. We give Christmas presents, all that we can do to just so you can feel like you're with us for real. We carry you in our hearts. We pray for you. Our team is small, but we all know our partners. Like we all of us know a handful because we've all reached out and connected in beautiful ways. And so I want to encourage you, come be part of our partnership program. And all you got to do is make a reoccurring gift of any amount. It doesn't matter what the amount is. Any amount will help us. Some people give $50. Some people give $200. Some people give $500. But even the smaller amounts help us to grow as a ministry. So I want to encourage you to partner with Bulls Ministries in 2025. And let's see what kind of journey we can go on together. Love you guys and bless you in your Christmas season. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.shawnbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God, themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or seanbowles.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.